Amen. Pastor Charlie, please come. Let's give him a warm welcome. Thank you, mate.
Good morning. Welcome. Great to see you all. Thank you, Blummer. You're a legend, mate. I love you. Thank you, Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrew, for asking me to share today. I run a charity for our church called Port Care. Pastor Andrea asked me about 20 years ago if I would run that for her, for our church. I said yes. I didn't know that months later that grey hairs would start growing. But it looks all right now, doesn't it? After all these years, it's like there's more grey than, you know. So thank you, Pastor Andrea. Well, thanks to you. Christmas is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is really, it's not just a beautiful time of the year, but it's a beautiful, it can be a beautiful time every day of your lives when you know Jesus Christ. Yeah. When you've come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it's every day. Right. He is wonderful. He is a good God. Yeah. And that little film of our kids doing the Mary and Joseph thing, I couldn't help but think about the story of this kid when he was in grade six and they were doing a play at school about Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus. And he wanted to be Joseph. I'm not sure whether it was because the girl was good looking. I have no idea. But the teacher said, no, you're the innkeeper. You're going to be the innkeeper. We're going to use this person here for Joseph. And, you know, he was so disappointed and so disheartened. Anyway, in grade seven, he thought, okay, this is my chance here, grade seven. I'm going to come towards the end of the year. I want to be Joseph, pleaded with the teacher. He acted really well. She said, no, you're going to be the innkeeper. You were so good. And we need this young man here, same guy, same girl, to be Joseph and Mary. He was so upset. But anyway, so they did the play, you know, and Mary and Joseph come to the inn. They knock on the door. And he opens the door, says hello, and they go, look, is there any room in the inn? And he turns to the man and he says, there's room for Mary, but there's no room for you. And so, yeah, true. Very true. So this Friday, we celebrate Christmas Day, a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. This one event has made a significant impact in the world today. Don't you admit? No other person in history of mankind has impacted so many lives like Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus more than 2,000 years ago was an event like none other. On the face value, it doesn't seem life-changing, but whilst it continues to be life-changing. Cosmologists tell us that over 13.5 billion years ago, the universe was smaller than a grain of sand. Very mind-stretching fact. Yet that one pales into insignificance besides the realization that 20 centuries ago, the God who created the universe became a tiny seed in the womb of a humble young woman. Christmas, of course, is to honour the birth of a humble person, our God of heaven, who created heaven and earth. Think about the galaxies. Think about the stars, the moon, just how everything just rotates. Move one thing out of alignment and it's just destruction. I remember heading on holidays with my family, heading up north and late at night, and we'd have a little minor stop, and you go outside, and you see the crops, it's dark, and you see the moon, and the stars are so clear, just so beautiful, and you think, wow, God is amazing, God is just awesome. Even most non-Christians at least respect Jesus as a great moral teacher. In addition, a few would argue that this one man has had more impact on the world than any other person in history. This Christmas may not be what you've expected it to be. It's a different landscape. I'm going to get to a little bit of that. But the birth of Jesus Christ has influenced and inspired music, poetry, literature, architecture, health, education, science, history, morality, just to name a few. And the lives that it has transformed, like John Newton, who was a slave trader, who he was a wretched man. He was shocking. He was a slave trader. And he'd come to know Jesus Christ, and his life just turned around and changed. And we sing one of his songs that he wrote called what? Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. How sweet is God's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I couldn't see, but now I do. Jesus is the light of the world. William Wilberforce, who fought for the abolition of slavery, and he did get it through. On his deathbed, it came through. Because of his strong Christian conviction, that's what he fought for. That was one of those things. Florence Nightingale, who changed nursing for good. Mother Teresa, who cared for the poor, the outcasts in India. Her legacy still lives on. The ministry that she started still lives on today. Many of our current institutions, schools and hospitals, care facilities, hospices can be traced to having the origin in Christian faith. This is the greatest story that was ever told. But it's not just a story. It is real life and it is true today. So Christmas this year might not look like you expect it to be, but neither did the birth of Jesus for Mary and Joseph expect it to be. They had to walk 130 kilometres. Well, Mary did get a lift on a donkey. Probably thinking of a really, really good birth. They get to the inn. There's no room in the inn. She's going to give birth. She's going to give birth. You need somewhere comfortable. Now, you mums that have had children here, you've had the most comfortable places. These days, you can have a birth in the bathtub. You can have it on a hospital bed. You can have it, you know, almost anywhere you want. But not for Mary. There was no room in the inn. She had to go to a manger. A little bit smelly. Her mum wasn't there. Her brother wasn't there. Family were not there. So maybe for some of us, it's you won't have family with you this year. Some of them can't come from over east or from overseas. Maybe you've experienced the loss of a loved one and they won't be with you this year. But something that God promises us, like in Isaiah, I'm going to read this scripture, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, the prophet Isaiah, he was 700 years before Jesus Christ. No scientist told him this, but he had this prophecy. He had this word, he could foresee the future. And this is what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. All right, then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. So today, I want to encourage you. I know many of you here know Christ. You know the Lord. Some of you probably just, like me, I kind of used to doubt when I was younger, was he here, was he real, wasn't he? But I used to think that he's just out there in the galaxy, in the universe somewhere, and we're just here to fend for ourselves. But no, God came in the flesh, so that he could, so that we could identify with him and he with us. God is with you at this time. God is with you. This week, a couple of weeks ago, I had a phone call from a lady who attends here, but she's from in another area, but she attends another C3 church. She told me that her nan wasn't well. And she asked if I would visit. And I said, yeah, of course. And so I went, then Monday, Tuesday came. I think it was a Tuesday night. I spoke to her. I said, I'm going to come over straight after work. So I went over, and there's the granddaughter who comes here from time to time. Then there's the mother, and there's the grandmother who's not well. She's facing death. And so ring the bell. Granddaughter comes to the door. You go in. You greet the mother. Then the grandmother. And went into her bedroom. Beautiful lady. She sits up on her bed. She was already sitting up, actually. She wasn't too good before all this. I said, child, I don't know why, but Nan's just perked up since, because you're here. I just think it's the Lord, you know, the presence of God. And so I sit there and I'm talking to her, talk about life, talk about death. And she's been to our community lunches here, our Friday services that we do for our community. She's been here quite a number of times. So she's heard the gospel many times. She may have known the Lord. I really didn't know where she was at, to be honest with you. But I sat with her and I said to her, what do you want? She said, I don't want to be here anymore. She said, I'm just tired of fighting this illness. It's just, I want to go. In the background, the daughter is listening. She's in another room. She bursts out crying. The granddaughter's in another room. Anyway, so obviously the reality that their mum's not going to be here. And I thought, Christmas is coming. You do want to be. I didn't say that. You want to be here for Christmas, don't you? But no, she wanted to go. She goes, I want to go. So we prayed. And she asked the Lord Jesus Christ into her life. I spoke to her about when you die, I told her what would happen. The Lord would come, the angels would come. It'll be peaceful. There'll be no more pain, no more tears. And you'll be comforted. So we prayed. I prayed for her and I just said, Lord, we just ask as the request of her heart, her desire. She wants to go quick. Lord, take her quickly, we pray. And, spent another minute or two with her, gave her a kiss, said goodbye, and I never saw her again. So I get a phone call, it's probably about 6 days later, 5 days later. So I got a message from the granddaughter. Nan has gone to be with her creator. I thought, wow, that was quick. And I rang the daughter, and I said to the daughter, just talked and said, look, your mum's in good hands. She's in a great place. She's in good hands. She's comforted. She's okay. You know, there's a scripture that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, I can offer you a gift today. I can offer you a gift, but if you don't take it, if you don't try it, you would not know how to turn this on. You would not know how to communicate. You would not know how to connect. So God knocks on the door of your heart today, saying to you, oh, taste, I'm here. I'm here. Open up your heart. You'll see, you'll taste of my goodness. Like for me when I was 19 years of age, and I did not know God personally. I didn't know that God was relatable. I didn't know that he was a personal I didn't know I could have a personal relationship with him. I didn't know that he could be so near to me. I remember one time I was vacuum cleaning my car, and I was getting all the gear out, and I'm setting up, going, you know how you go in and out the house a few times because you forget some things? I'm going back in, and I start to sense this presence. I was a Christian at this time, and I know the presence of God, and it was the presence of God, but very, very strong. So I'm going, and it's still there, it's staying with me, and then I'm saying, Lord, I'm praying, because I've had this happen many times, and sometimes it's like, go and visit this person, do this, or, you know. So I'm going, Lord, what? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And it was like, and this is what I felt in my heart, was like, I want you to do nothing. I don't want you to go anywhere. I'm just with you. I'm just with you. There was no, do you want any productivity out of me? Didn't say, hurry up, vacuum the car. I need you to go and do that. No. Just, I'm with you. So I continued on, just with the conscious, and just very conscious that he's with me while I'm vacuum cleaning the car. God is with us. God is with you. Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday, 2,000 years ago, today, and forever. His truth does not change. He is not schizophrenic. God is not schizo. Let me tell you, he is not schizo. I can be schizo. You ask my family. I can be schizo. God is not schizo. God is very loving. God is very kind. He is beautiful. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, he is our rock. He is our fortress. And this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These words, full of deep and powerful mystery, ring true precisely because they are true. He is who he says he is. He is your counselor. He is your father. He is your peace. I have never known peace like this. Never, ever. I tried different things to get peace before that. I tried smoking Marlboro to get peace. And I did get some peace. But when it ran out, I needed more peace. And then, as the journey went on, I started to get a little bit paranoid. True. It sent me a bit paranoid. And then thankfully then, a man came and spoke to me about the love of God. I'd heard it before. And before I was like, no, I still got too many things to do, you know. And at this time, I was like, God was like knocking on the door of my heart saying, now is the time to make a choice. Now is the time. Thankfully, by the grace of God, I went to church one Sunday. I heard the message of the love of God and I received Jesus Christ into my life. There was a couple of times, I even once received Christ while listening to someone on TV. I did. But now things were starting to impact my life. Things were starting to change. My environment, the atmosphere around me, God loves you. I had this whole pile of sin. I had it before, even 2 weeks after I was born. We were all born. And we all sin. We all have this behavior where we want to rebel. Even with this COVID thing, no one wants to follow the rules. Seriously, no one. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm crossing the border. I was so crazy, and I'm thinking, do you know, just get on a speedboat and just go over to South Australia like that. Get a boat. Someone will just hire a boat. So we humanity is messy, eh? We are a mess. It is. It's a mess. But Jesus comes to change all that. And as we receive him, he changes our hearts. He puts love in our hearts. He cleanses us from all sin. And it's not just in your imagination. It's not like, you know, oh, Jesus. There's something real. When you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, there's this cleansing inside. And in your mind, it's like, whoa, I feel like I'm perfect. I feel like I've never sinned now. That's what it's like. He promises that. And guilt and shame. He took that upon himself upon the cross. All guilt, all shame, all sin. That's why he came. And to give you a purpose, to give you a destiny, to give you life. To give you life. The Spirit of Christ embodies many wonderful qualities. Love, sharing, hope, peace. You know, we sing, we dance, and we love this thing about Christmas. But there still is this issue for many of us. That is, how do I deal with my sin? How do I get past this? I want to read this scripture in John chapter 1 and verse 12 and to verse 14. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. When people ask me, what was God like? I say, if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you're seeing God. That is God. God in the flesh. So maybe today, maybe you're a believer, and maybe part of your world has been rattled or a little bit shaken. I want you to know that God is with you. He loves you. He is faithful. He will not let you go. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. Maybe you're here today and you've been challenged, maybe, like, in the sense where, I want to share about Christmas. I want to share the story of God's love. Because Christmas is also about sharing the story of God's love, of his birth, of his death, of his resurrection. Some of you are challenged to share that with your community, wherever you are. You do that. Share God's love because people want to hear it. I know my wife, when she was at school, she had some friends who were Christians. And she became a Christian because of me, because I met her. We met each other through work. And one of the things that she said to me, she says, you know, they were Christians, but they never ever said anything to me. They never said anything to me. Share your faith. Share your faith. Share it in love. Share it. That's good. Don't keep it in. Share your love. Share the love of God. And thirdly, maybe you're here today and you're like, well, I've never experienced this God. Or, no, I'm, you know, Balis. Well, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you know? I know some people who will not go in the ocean. Beautiful. I love the ocean. They won't even put their foot in the water. But how do you know? Blum, is that you? No. You're coming to the beach with me, mate. I'm taking you with me. Now, let me tell you, if you're a bit unsure about the ocean, let me tell you, you won't drown. A shark will not come if you go 6 inches in. Trust me. Are you another one?
What about the crabs?
She's scared of crabs. Catch them and eat them. So how do you know? Just taste and see. Take a step. I didn't know you didn't like the ocean. Look at your big, burly, muscly. I thought you weren't afraid of anything. So taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you find out about the ocean? Well, just go in. If you just got to go in 6 inches deep and stay there, well, you just go in 6 inches and stay there. Enjoy it. You know? Then I guarantee you, after a while, you're going to go in 12 inches deep. Okay? Then after a while, you're in 12 inches deep, you're going to go, gee, I like this. I want more. And then you dive in. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. Let's stand up. Let's have the musicians come up, please. Stand firm, people. Stand firm in your faith. God will come through for you. God will come through for you. I had a lady come to Port Care about 4 or 5 years ago. And not because she needed anything. She just likes op shopping. And she'd come in and I got to know her. And then when she became confident enough, she began to tell me a little bit about her story. She told me she's facing death. She told me that she's not in a good place. She's got this serious illness. Her name is, I won't tell you her name. She had cancer. I said, oh, let me pray for you. She says, you know, she goes, I'm really okay with it all. If I die, she goes, I know where I'm going to go. I have my faith in Jesus Christ. I thought, oh, that's awesome. That's amazing. So I prayed for her anyway. I think over the time, I probably prayed for only probably 3 times. And we didn't always bring it up, didn't always talk about it. The other day, I'm at Port Care. And she comes in and she's at the counter and I'm just near there. She says, oh, hi, Charlie. She goes, I'm okay. And I'm like, oh, that's good. That's great. She goes, yeah, I'm okay. And then she kind of, because I was half concentrating and half not. A little bit like that. And so I go, tell me what's happened. She goes, I've just come from the doctor. He's given me the all clear. She goes, I'm in remission. And I'm like, Wow. I hugged her. She was crying. She literally just came from the doctor. Just came, and she's still comprehending it. She goes, I'm still getting this through my... It's just hitting me. And she's bawling her eyes out. I was like, wow. Only weeks before, she showed me photos of her family. Her grandchildren, her children. She's going to have a great Christmas. You're going to have a great Christmas because He is with you. If you haven't tasted and seen that He is good, do it. I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Let's close our eyes. So I'd like to invite you to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask the whole church to pray with me as well. And if you mean this prayer with all your heart, let me tell you, God will touch your heart. Let me tell you, something will occur. It may not be in an instant, but there it will. It will. Okay. Maybe you've